Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ.
Hallelujah. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. It's a glorious day. We couldn't have asked for better weather today. Hoping to get out there and get some sunshine this afternoon. I have to give a short commercial to the Easter Vigil at St. John's last night. And at the vigil, I just want to say it was a wonderful time of people being together. It was a wonderful time. There were four churches that celebrated the vigil at St. John's. And just that community worship that was experienced last night was wonderful. There were four priests at the altar distributing communion, and just the bells ringing at that first hallelujah was just a wonderful experience. I hope to do it again next year. It was just this moment where we remember that we worship in community. Yes, we're St. Stephen's and we're here, but you know, there are other people doing the same things at the same time. And it was a wonderful time for that. Abdel's not here this morning. He was one of the readers for us. St. Stephen's had a part he read for us. They were completely enthralled and enamored with his reading ability. We don't have really good readers here. So it was just a wonderful time. This morning, you may have noticed in your bulletin that there were two sets of readings to pick from for each section, the first reading and the second reading, and even the gospel. Normally, the bulletin inserts tell you what the lectionary is, and that's what you do. So I had to decide which ones I was going to use for today. And so as I read them earlier in the week, I just started thinking about it and mulling it over, and I came across the Gospel according to John. I came across that, and I selected that as the Gospel for this morning because I really liked the action in the story. There's action in there. It's not you're part of the action that's occurring. You know, we have Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. She sees the stone has been rolled away. And without really thinking about, oh, what happened here? Where is he? She turns and runs to the disciples. She needs to get this information out there. And so she runs to them. That verb, runs, to me, it caught my attention. So she runs to the disciples. I'm sure with an excited tone says, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where we have laid them. Now, the we part there tripped me up. Who's the we? It only says Mary Magdalene. But there are other women with her in the other gospel stories. We know that the women have come with their spices. They're going to take Jesus' body and prepare him for a proper burial. So the we there are the other women that are with her in the other stories. But in John's gospel, we can feel the excitement, maybe even panic in her voice when she informs the disciples that the body is not there. She runs. And with that visual, there's no time for her to ponder what's going on in the tomb. She's just concerned that he's not in there. And what happens next? What do the disciples do? They run the other way and run back to the tomb. They run to the tomb and try to find out where he is. Somebody's not happy with that empty tomb, I'll tell you. So, the disciples are running. For me, this is a really funny part of this, not funny, but the part of the story. The disciples are running, and it's important for John to note one of the disciples gets there before the other. What's Peter doing? Where are you, Peter? This other person beat you to the tomb. I don't know why that's significant, but the first person, the first disciple gets there and doesn't go in, just peeks in. Then Peter gets there, and Peter goes in first and finds the linens lying in the tomb. And again, a part for me, the cloth from Jesus' head was not lying with the other linen clothing. Okay, that's significant. We know why later on. But at this point, you know, it's just interesting to me, all this action that's happening in this story. But it's the second disciple that goes in with Peter. He sees the empty tomb. He sees the wrappings on the floor. He sees the cloth on the floor of the tomb. He went in, he saw, and he believed. He went in, he saw the empty tomb, and he believed. Now, there's a whole thing about what did he believe? Did he believe Mary Magdalene telling him the tomb was empty? Or did he believe that Jesus had risen? The next sentence gives me the answer to this for me. As yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. as yet. And for me, that as yet means that he got it. There was like an aha moment for the disciple. He heard Jesus say he must rise from the dead, but he didn't quite understand what that meant. And so he gets into the tomb, he sees the linen wrappings on the floor, and he says, oh, now I get it. Now I know. And I used this morning the aha moment. A teacher always looks for the aha moment. That's when a student finally gets something that you're trying to teach, and they say, oh, now I get it. And you say, oh, my work here is done. And you move on to the next thing for the next student to have their aha moment. And so for me, it was the disciples' aha moment, seeing that empty tomb. And again, we get fascinating again in our reading. They see the empty tomb. They have their aha moment. And what do? Go home. Oh, okay, he's not in there. Let's just go home and wait and see what happens next. And leave Mary Magdalene there weeping by the tomb. So she's weeping. All of a sudden, she says, I'm going to look in there again. I want to make sure he's really not in there. And she looks in. You've heard. She sees angels. They ask her, what are you looking for? She's thinking, is he gone? Yeah, he's really gone. So she then, when she sees the angels, her reaction is priceless. They've taken my Lord. They, who the they is that she's thinking about, we don't know. I don't know where they've laid him. You can imagine the panic in her voice. She wants answers as to where the body has gone. I'm sure at this point she was quite frantic and upset. The disciples have left. She's there, but she turns around and she sees someone. Of course, she's in a garden, so she assumes it's the gardener. And in a demanding way, I'm sure, she questions, if you carried him away, tell me where, and I will go get him and take him away. She wants Jesus there, now. But she doesn't realize that's who it is. And there's a moment when Jesus calls her by name, Mary. I'm sure it took her up short, got her attention. Of course, thinking that she's the gardener, he's the gardener, she's taken off guard. Why would the gardener know my name? It's kind of like us. A lot of times, when we look back on what we've been going through, we don't recognize that Jesus was right there with us, right in front of us. It's hard for us to recognize God is actually there with us. And in the midst of our struggle, God seems to be far away, not necessarily present, when in all actuality, he's there all the time. And perhaps that's where Mary Magdalene was on this day. She was so wrapped up in her own thoughts of what happened, she couldn't see Jesus standing right in front of her. And after she recognizes who he is, he gives her some instructions. And here's some more action in our story. Jesus tells her, go to my brothers and tell them the information that she gives him. Go to the disciples and give them the message. Mary Magdalene, she goes. She goes to the disciples. She goes and she says, I have seen the Lord. Now, you go one of two ways. You're a crazy loon or you've seen the Lord. And I have to say that probably because when she came to them and said the tomb was empty and she was right, when the disciples heard her say, I have seen the Lord, they believed as well. She tells them the messages that the Lord has given, and they take that to heart. So how do the other readings today, I talked about tying the readings together and trying to figure out what fits, how do they tie in? Well, this taking it to heart is where we find Peter in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, who was at the tomb, who sees the empty tomb and believes that Christ had been resurrected. You hear Peter telling the Gentiles of his time, God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses. He takes that to heart. It's huge in its day. Peter is so impacted by the empty tomb that he goes throughout the land proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. And here's the message for us. Those who believe in the risen Christ can have confidence that death has been overcome. Out of this death, from the resurrection of Jesus, comes new life. And what a glorious thing this morning. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians this morning, he talks of how all die in Adam. But because Christ has been raised from the dead, we will all be made alive with Christ. And this reading brought to mind for me a famous icon you may be familiar with, those of you that like icons, the resurrection of Jesus. And there are several different versions. I don't know if I've talked about it before. I feel like I have. I got interested in icons as a really little kid. My best friend's father was a Greek Orthodox priest. And in his office, his home office at their house, he had icons, little ones and big ones and fancy ones and plain ones. And I was not churched as a child, so I didn't know what they were. I didn't understand. And I was just fascinated by them. I was drawn in. I could just stand there and look at them. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I learned that icons do not depict historical events. That's not their purpose, although they are made around historical events. They're made to give historical events meaning. And that's their purpose. So they're not, I mean, it's depicting the resurrection of Christ, but it's giving meaning to this. And so for this particular icon that came to mind, Jesus is in the middle, of course, in the center. And underneath of him are the gates of Hades in the shape of a cross. Underneath, sometimes, there are different versions, but sometimes under the fallen gates of Hades is death, bound up and tied, having no more power over us after the resurrection of Jesus. And also down there with death are little unlocked locks and broken chains and keys, all to represent the freedom that comes with the resurrected Christ. But one of the things that really strikes me in this particular icon, I just want to make sure I don't miss any of the important pieces that I have in my mind. One of the important things about this icon is there are two people down at Jesus' feet. Anybody have any idea who they are? Go ahead.
First of all, probably Satan.
No, Satan and death are sort of bound and tied at his feet. These people are coming up and reaching up for Jesus. And it's Adam and Eve. And they're in caskets. Because Jesus, after being resurrected, he's reaching down for them and he's bringing them to him. So in Paul's letter we hear, all die in Adam, but all live in Christ. And God works, just all came together, and I found this icon, and so my picture of Jesus being resurrected, he's reaching down for the people, he's reaching down for us, and he's picking us up with him, he's taking us to him through this resurrection. Through the resurrection of Christ, the chains of death are broken. We are no longer locked into nothingness. Through the resurrection, when we fall through death, we are raised to paradise by the power and mercy of Christ. Those two people are significant. The fact that they're in caskets, being raised up with Christ, that's what God does for us through the resurrection. He's reaching out to us. He shows himself to us. He's there for us. And this icon that comes to mind, there's a real connection between Jesus and those he's lifting up. They're looking up to him. He's reaching out for them. He's lifting them out of their graves. This was an interesting piece I came across as well that I embellished on. He's lifting them out of their graves. And we too can be lifted out of our graves with Christ through faith. Our graves, not that final one, but the ones that we make for ourselves along the way. The darkness where we find ourselves so many times, either of our own choosing or out of circumstances beyond our control. Those graves where we spend that time looking for Jesus and waiting. Jesus is there to lift us out of our graves, and he will do so on the last day for each of us. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians this morning, all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. Meaning that with sin, we die in Adam and Eve, but through Christ, we are alive. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, and then those who belong to Christ, meaning the rest of us, will be able to have eternal life through the resurrected Son. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, eternal victory has been won over death. And today, we celebrate that victory. We add back into our worship the alleluias that have been silent through Lent. Alleluias, celebrating the good news. The good news that God gave us his Son, willingly. His Son, who willingly died on the cross for us, yet has been resurrected and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father for us and with us. And through him, through the death and resurrection of Christ, eternal victory has been won over death. And again, I say, today we celebrate that victory. Our closing hymn, I will say I scared 8 o'clock and I said our closing hymn, and then I said, wait, not you guys, you don't have to sing. They all laugh. So at 10:30 this morning, we're going to sing the closing hymn. The familiar title, He Lives. Might be familiar to a lot of us. The words of the hymn are so poignant for this morning, I can't help but close with them this morning. I want to close with a few words from it. I'm not doing the whole hymn, but I want to pick the little piece. The last piece, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your heart, your voice, and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives, but he lives within my heart. Amen.